Welcome to the Defender Bible Study, a weekly encouragement to equip the body of Christ through the study of Scripture and prayer to manifest the gospel to orphans and vulnerable children around the world. This podcast is a ministry of Lifeline Children's Services, where we believe that defending the fatherless begins by being rooted in God's Word.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 15th, and this is Blake Wilson, Lifeline's Vice President of Operations. We're going to continue our study this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's hard to believe it, but we are in chapter 15 today, only looking at seven short verses. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19 today. And this is really Paul's plea to the church of Corinth to not forget the basics of what they know. There was some cultural influence happening around Corinth and with this first church and these believers about what it meant for the resurrection to happen, the resurrection of Christ, and then ultimately the resurrection of those believers who have gone on before, and what would happen. What does heaven look like? What does the resurrection look like? And all of these things culminating on the fact and the basis of Jesus's resurrection himself. So this seven short verses is really Paul's justification of the gospel. Like, let's look at the nuts and bolts of what the gospel is. And he begins to challenge and ask just some basic questions, rhetorical questions of what if this happened, then this happened. And just trying to reason with this group of people to help them understand the bigger picture. And I think it's passage like this are really refreshing because it helps us remember ourselves in our culture, in our influences, in the busyness of the world we live in, how easy it is to overcomplicate things, how prone we are to wander and to forget the basics of the gospel. And Paul is in this passage asking these questions and just reminding them of the gospel. Looking back in our study of 1 Corinthians 15, if you go back to the very first part of this chapter, the whole crux of this conversation is found in verses 3 and 4. And this is what Paul said earlier in this chapter. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. It's very simple, right? He was buried and he was raised on the third day. And there is proof of this in the scriptures. It is all there for us to grasp. It is all there for us to understand. Really, he didn't say what's the problem, but why are you confused? He's asking these questions. Like, this was all predicted. This was prophesied over. We know that the Messiah must die. We know that the Messiah would resurrect. These things were all predicted in the Old Testament prophecies. And not only that, there's also historical proof that we've already walked through. Like, why are you confused? I can just hear Paul's voice getting more and more elevated in this passage of, come on, guys, are you with me? Like, what's going on? Right? You think you have everybody together. You think everybody's on the same page, and stuff begins to unravel. And I think this is what Paul is sensing as he begins to communicate with this church. So he says, I have historical proof. We have studied this. We know this. This was prophecy that we know from the Old Testament, but there were also eyewitness accounts. Jesus appearing to the 12. Jesus appeared after resurrection to 500 brothers and sisters who saw him with their own eyes. We see this happen in the book of Acts. We saw his appearance to 500 people. And then I love Paul, and he's like, most of all, I saw him myself. I met him on the road to Damascus. I myself saw the risen Lord. And so are most of these other people. Christ appeared to 500 people. He says the majority of these people are still alive. Like, go talk to them yourself. They saw the risen Lord. So there is so much proof in his resurrection. Why are you confused? So Paul is just so mesmerized as to what is happening, and really arguing as well of, if you don't believe in this, then the whole gospel is in vain. If you don't believe and we haven't trusted that the Lord has truly resurrected, that's the crux of the gospel. What are we believing in if that's not true? So in verses 12 and 13, he says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." So Christ is risen. So if Christ is risen, we know that there is resurrection from the dead. He's immediately saying, you're contradicting yourself. If you don't believe in resurrection from the dead, then you don't believe in Christ, because he was risen. He is the reason we believe, and it's through his death, burial, and resurrection that we have hope. And he's reminding them to not be influenced by the culture. The culture here of the Greeks, and even some of the Jews, they couldn't understand that the body was truly resurrected and would go to heaven. They believed in the spirit and some kind of division between the body and the spirit, but the spirit would go, the body wouldn't, and therefore there wasn't a resurrection of the body. But he's arguing with them to tell them otherwise, that it is the body. Christ resurrected, therefore we will resurrect. People saw him in his physical form. Our bodies will physically resurrect if we are new in Christ. This was a topic of debate. And it, you can even see it in Acts chapter 17. He says in verse 32, and this is the first church, and he says, "And when they heard this, of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.'" Right? So some people heard about the resurrection and they mocked, they laughed, they scoffed at this. And then there were others that say, you know, maybe there's some validity to this, but I want to hear you again on this matter. I want to talk more. I want more proof before I completely buy into this. But again, Paul is saying, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then he's still dead today. And if this is so, if he's still dead, then there's no genuine Christianity. What are we doing, right? If this is the case, then Jesus is just like any other religious leader. I mean, he could be like Buddha or Muhammad. He's just dead in the ground. But Christ is risen, and this is at the crux of Christianity. It's not a hoax. He is alive and he is risen. So let us follow him wholeheartedly. Let us grasp hold of what the gospel is, where we find our hope and where we find our forgiveness, and embrace that and share that statement. So Paul breaks this down further in the next few verses. And I just call this the if statements, but it's all these hypothetical questions that he's asking the church of Corinth. Just to say, think about what you're saying. If this, then this. If you're saying this, then that means this. And, you know, I'm guilty of this. I think sometimes you can say stuff without really thinking it through, right? But sometimes maybe you speak quicker than maybe your mind works. Like, you're quick to let words roll off the tongue, but not fully understanding what you're saying. And then after you say it, you're like, well, that really doesn't make sense at all. This is what Paul is saying in verses 14 through 18. And his first statement is the first if statement. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And more than that, we are then found to be a false witness about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised." So three things in these two verses. The first one being, if Christ has not been raised first, then our preaching is useless. Paul is saying, why are we sharing this message? Everything that we're talking about, the hope of eternal security, forgiveness of sins, is all through our preaching. Why are we preaching? Why are we sharing? Why are we traveling? Why are we being so intentional in our time and our efforts in communicating the hope of the gospel if it's not true? Our preaching is useless if this is the case. And it, why would I do this to myself? Even Paul, like, why would I travel? Why would I be imprisoned? Why would I suffer? Why would I be ostracized? Why all of these things if he hasn't been raised? He truly has. And Paul is even reminding them, I saw him. I met him. I was transformed on the road to Damascus. Second, he says, if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless. Second, and so is your faith. What are you believing in? Your faith is hopeless. If we don't have newness in Christ and believe in his resurrection and believe that we will be risen with newness in faith and our hope, then it's all useless. So not only is the preaching useless, this whole faith, it's all useless. And he goes, even more than that, thirdly, we're found to be a false witness. So we are misconstruing the gospel. We are false witnesses about who Jesus is. So the preaching's useless. Your faith is useless. I'm a false witness. He's like, this whole thing is an absolute mess if Christ isn't risen from the dead. He continues on in verse 17 and he says, again, there's more if statements. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in sin, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So three more points in these two verses. So we saw three. There's some overlap again in these three. But if Christ hasn't been raised first, your faith is futile. Your faith is futile. Very similar to what we talked about in the second point. I would kind of call it 2A, but it's your faith is useless that we heard in verse 14. And in verse 17, your faith is futile. Again, what are you doing? What are you believing in? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It all is at the core of the resurrection. Second, you are still in your sins. I think, man, that carries some weight. You are still buried in your sin and the weight of your sin. There is no forgiveness of sins if it wasn't for Christ's resurrection. His death, his burial, his resurrection. We have no hope of eternity. We have no hope of security and forgiveness if it wasn't for Jesus' resurrection. So we're dead under the weight of our sin. And then third, Paul says, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Man, you think about those who have gone on before us, those believers who have passed. You know, we have the hope of eternal hope, of eternity in heaven because of Jesus' resurrection, that we will be reunited with him first and foremost, to see him face to face in his glory. But second, to see those saints and brothers and sisters and disciples who have gone on before us, who have dedicated and served wholeheartedly. So the hope of a believer is that we will one day be reunited. You think of being, you know, of the different times where maybe you've lost a loved one and you're in a season of grief and it's so hard to think about someone that you will never have a chance to see again while on this earth. But the joy that fills your spirit to know that you will one day see them again, that we have a hope that we will see them again in heaven because of what Christ has done for us. And Paul is just telling the church of Corinth that those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they're just lost. There's no hope, but we have hope. We have the forgiveness of our sins, and we have hope that we will see those who have gone on before us again because of the resurrection. So he wraps this up in verse 19, and this is what he says. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If only for this life we have hope, we are most of all those to be pitied. You know, in this season of, in this culture really, of the first church and those following Jesus, it wasn't an easy ride. It wasn't something people just did for fun and to be said, I want to be, you know, to be labeled, I want to be called a Christian. They were often ostracized from their family. They were often persecuted. It wasn't just this life of luxury and fun. And Paul is saying, if it's only, if we're doing all this with no eternal hope, then in this world is all we have to live for. What in the world are we doing? Why would we be devoting our lives to this if there's no hope? This isn't fun, right? This is hard. You can read through all of Paul's letters of the times when he was inflicted with pain, the times that he was beaten, the times that he was imprisoned, the times when he was hungry, the times when he was lonely. So much of this Christian walk was hard. And Paul is saying, we are of all people. Man, we should be the most pitied of anyone. Because this is all for naught. He says, we have hope in Christ because of the resurrection. We have hope. We are living in that hope of eternity because of the resurrection. It is a complete picture of the gospel. So Paul is encouraging the church of Corinth, as I am encouraging you guys this morning. Let us be encouraged this week because we have hope. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have hope of eternity in heaven, to see those who have gone on before us, to be with him forever in all his glory, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. We just celebrated Easter and the goodness of the whole picture of the gospel and his resurrection. And let us hold on to that this week as we serve. And as we interact with others, God is good. The gospel at its core is around his resurrection and the forgiveness and the hope that we find in that. So let's hold on to that truth this week as we serve. We're going to close out our time this morning praying for the country of Taiwan. And we know that the country has just experienced an earthquake. So obviously, let's pray for the safety of that. I know often there can be aftershocks for many weeks after an earthquake hits. So let's pray for that country. Also, let's just pray for the government, as well as those different orphanage partnerships that we are working with across the country there, for government stability, as well as for our staff who just work so diligently here, building those relationships with the country of Taiwan. So let's pray specifically for this country today. God, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the hope of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that as we serve this week, that we keep our eyes and on you and find our hope in the gospel. Lord, we pray for the country of Taiwan as they have just experienced a natural disaster in this earthquake. God, we just pray for those who have been misplaced or lost their homes or lost loved ones. And God, just an infrastructure that is, Lord, that is just vulnerable right now. God, we pray for this country as they get back on their feet. Lord, we pray for the government as well, the child welfare and how this could impact that. God, we pray for stamina, endurance for them. Lord, we just also pray for a willingness to partner with Lifeline, to allow Lifeline to step in this time of need and serve them. God, we pray for the kids that have been impacted, not only by this natural disaster, but Lord, also just by fatherlessness. God, help us to be positioned to find gospel-centered families for these young ones. Lord, may they find hope in a forever family and even the gospel as we just shared today as a result of this. Lord, lastly, we just pray for our team who is working so diligently in this country to serve them. Lord, be with those relationships, be with the camaraderie there and friendship just to deepen and the level of trust to deepen to where we can see this program flourish and find more stability and ultimately children placed in finding permanency with gospel-centered families. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for another week to serve, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for the Defender Bible Study. If you enjoy making this podcast a part of your weekly routine, we'd love for you to take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review the Defender Bible Study to make it easier for more people to find. For more resources and information on how you and your church can partner with Lifeline, please visit us at lifelinechild.org. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching for Lifeline Child. You can email us directly at info@lifelinechild.org. We look forward to seeing you again next week for the Defender Bible Study.